Thank you, Mike. Take your Bible, please. I've got two places for you to turn tonight. One is Daniel chapter 1. The other is Proverbs chapter 3. Daniel chapter 1, Proverbs chapter 3, as we look together in God's Word, I want to share with you the working out of the principles, the keys that we've been talking about in the life of Daniel. Let me read for you again, Proverbs chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. My son, do not forget the teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all of your ways, know or acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be a healing to your body and a refreshment to your bones. How many of you are scared of sharks? Anybody scared of sharks? We need to deal with some phobias tonight. The fear of sharks is fairly common. In fact, a few years ago, I recall that someone was attacked in Florida, and the entire tourist industry for a year or so fell off because everyone was afraid of being attacked by sharks. I did some statistical study during that period of time and found that worldwide, more people are killed every year. In fact, it is a fairly common issue. More people are killed every year by falling coconuts than by shark attacks. Not only that, I need to ask again. This morning I asked the question, how many of you came to church in a vehicle? And I think everybody raised their hand. How about tonight? How many of you came to church in a vehicle? Do you know that last year, the state of Tennessee, over 1,000 people died in an automobile accident? And yet, I am fairly certain that when you opened the car door, got in the car this evening, and drove to church, you had no great anxiety about being in that car and coming to church. But if you were at the beach, where no one along the Gulf Coast, as far as I know this year, has died by a shark attack, you would be concerned about whether a shark would bite you or not. You understand what I'm saying is sometimes what we ought to fear, we do not fear. What we should fear, we do not fear. But almost all the time, our logic is messed up within our feelings, and we simply don't use our reason very well. Tonight, I want to talk with you about that a little bit as we go back and think about what the Word said to us this morning about all of the Proverbs we've read to this point, but particularly and to this point, pointedly, to the place where it says, above everything else, do not trust in your own reason, but fear the Lord. I think I need to emphasize again, because I've got a lot of educated, intelligent, erudite college students sitting right before me, that I'm not against reason and I'm not against intelligence. In fact, I think the most intelligent stance in the world is the Christian stance. I don't think you can actually be rational and reasonable and intelligent without having the worldview that is presented for us in the Scripture. So when I talk about subordinating our own reason to the wisdom of God, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Subordinating our reason, not getting rid of it, not stopping to think, but recognizing the authority of the Word of God, the rightness of the Word of God, and the truth of the Word of God, even if at some juncture in my life it doesn't make sense to me, with the understanding that sometimes fears that I should have, I don't have, and fears that I do have, I probably have no reason to have. Last time I heard, not a single person taking a bath in Cookeville has ever been bitten by a shark. Now turn with me to Daniel chapter 1. If you have a little trouble getting there, then it's from Proverbs, head on over toward the prophets, and you'll find Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and then Daniel. Daniel chapter 1, I want you to see something. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, I'm beginning with verse 1, chapter 1, the book of Daniel. The third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judea, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into the hand, along with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Sinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasury of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of the officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles, youth in whom was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding, discerning knowledge, who had the ability for serving the king's court, and he ordered him to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, the folks who live in the area of Babylon and Iran today. The king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice food and from the wine which he drank, and appointed that they should be educated 3 years, at the end of which they were to enter the king's personal service. Now among them, from the sons of Judah, were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Then the commanders of the officials assigned new names to them, and to Daniel he assigned the name Belshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach, to Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel made up his mind. Now, this is the phrase I want you to catch. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food and with the wine which he drank, so that he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Now God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. And the commander of the officials said to Daniel, "I am afraid of my king, Lord the king, who has appointed your food and your drink. For why should he see your faces looking more haggard than the youth who are your own age? Then you would make me forfeit my head to the king." But Daniel said to the overseer from the commander of the officials had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given some vegetables to eat and water to drink, and then let our appearance be observed in the presence and the appearance of the youths who are eating the king's choice food, and deal with your servants according to what you see." So he listened to them in this manner and tested them for 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their appearance seemed better. They were fatter than all the youth who had been eating the king's choice food. So the overseer continued to withhold their choice food and the wine they were to drink, and kept giving them vegetables. As for these four youth, God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. And then at the end of the days which the king had specified for presenting them, the commander of the officials presented them before Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and out of them, not one was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's personal service. And as for every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and conjurers who were in his realm. And Daniel continued the first year of Cyrus, until the first year of Cyrus the king. Pray with me for a moment. Father, I pray that you would take your word and absolutely embed it into our hearts. Drive it as if you have taken a stake and a mallet, and let it reside there for its full fruit to be born in our lives. We ask it, Lord, in your name. Amen. Now, here's the thing. The passage of Scripture that is pivotal here as it relates to the Proverbs we have read is Daniel chapter 8, chapter 1, verse 8. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself for the king's choice food. The request that Daniel made was not about whether he liked the food or did not like the food. The issue was that the food that was placed before them was not kosher food. It was not food that had been prepared and set apart in the way of the Jewish people. Daniel and his three friends were men who were committed to the work and the way of God within their life. And when they were faced with taking the morsels of the king, which, by the way, would have been delicacies. We're talking about the best food. We're talking about, according to the kingdom and according to their way of thinking, the food that was fit only for the king's household. The rest of the nation was not going to receive this. This was nobleman's food. This was prince's food. This was the best food. And yet it wasn't God's food. It became an issue about whether to honor God or honor man. And Daniel used every available godly means to honor God. He made up his mind that when it came to following his own wisdom, like when you're in Paris, do like the Parisians, or when you're in Babylon, better do like the Babylonians. Better get along, go along to get along. Better do what you can do in order that everything just works out easily. Instead of doing that, they purposed in their mind what Proverbs said. I don't know if they'd heard Proverbs, but very likely they had. Perhaps they had. And so they're listening, and they've heard them, and they know the principles. And the principle is they're not going to lean on their own understanding. They're going to acknowledge God. They're going to know Him. They're not going to be wise in their own eyes. They're going to fear the Lord and turn away from evil. They have, if you read the passage, every intent is they have bound kindness and truth to themselves around their neck and written them on the tablets of their heart, and they have found favor with God, and God has given them favor with men. See why I've read the two together? Because the one plays to the other. Here's the thing. What I want you to notice is Daniel's determination, first of all. Daniel was absolutely determined to keep the law of God. He made up his mind. He was a man of conviction. And so whatever else happened, he already had set the parameters. He'd already set the fences. He'd already set the barriers of where he was willing to go and where he was not willing to go. And he was going to be a man of God. And though what was laid out before him was certainly enticing, what it cost him to refuse might have been his life. It certainly was the esteem of the other captives and the people who were in his peer group. Yet Daniel had determined that I am going to keep the law of God. I'm going to live by the word of God. Secondly, Daniel was determined to keep man's favor. Now, I'm convinced of this. As I read the Proverbs, as I read the first chapter of Daniel, I can assure you of this. Daniel did not go. Now, Daniel was a captive, but he was treated as a royal captive. And in this day and in this battle, when they had taken away the best of Israel, some were chosen out, and they were not treated terribly. They were probably treated pretty well. They were treated as noblemen. They were ushered in to be part of the king's service. So in the midst of this, Daniel's being treated pretty good as captives go, but I can promise you this, Daniel did not show a haughtiness. Daniel did not show anything but humility. And when he dealt with his captors, just as we would see in the way that Joseph dealt with his, there is the underlying understanding that he dealt with them as a man deals rightly with other men. That is, with grace, that is, with wisdom, that is, with wise words and not haughtiness. And they responded to that. And isn't that what Proverbs says? Bind kindness and truth to your life. And it was recognized and it was noticed. And the reality is, this is supernatural. It's also natural. This is natural, but it's also supernatural. That is, people do notice the way we carry ourselves, the way the tone of voice is that we use, and the kinds of words that we use, and how we approach our elders, or how much respect we give to those, even if they're not in a position of authority over us. People notice that. And as a believer who is treating people correctly because it is what God would have us to do, not only do people notice it, but as it becomes a character of our lives and our hearts, God causes people to notice it. And so you shouldn't miss the fact that in all of this, the underlying assumption is that Daniel treated others in that way. That God caused is not an assumption, but an absolute statement that God caused Daniel to have favor first with Ashpenaz and then with the king. And he worked it all out because Daniel had determined to do two of the things that we've talked about in the Proverbs. One was to keep the law of God and to put the word in his heart, Proverbs 1 and 2. And the other, to bind kindness and truth to his heart, as we looked at Proverbs 3 and 4. And the third thing, he determined to keep God's law. He determined to keep man's favor. He made up his mind to be a man of grace. He determined to serve God faithfully. He was going to serve God wherever he was. Now, we know that not only in this story of Daniel, but we know it throughout the book of Daniel as Daniel continues to worship God, as he continues to bow before God and bring his prayers to God. As he stands up time and time again, Daniel proves himself to be a man, not only who is going to keep God's law, but he's going to serve God faithfully. And doesn't that fit into everything it means when we read the Proverbs that it says, don't lean to your own understanding, don't be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and turn away to evil. Isn't that exactly what Daniel's doing all the way through here? And what happens with Daniel when he does that? Well, it's a wonderful thing. Now, don't forget, Daniel is away from home. He's held captive. Sometimes when we read these stories, we don't read them in their reality, and I think that's bad for us. We either read them as they happen too quickly, or we don't read the entire context of it. Daniel is still a captive in Babylon. Daniel is still under the servitude of the kings of Babylon. But in the midst of that, God is working out Daniel's destination. And God knew where he was, and God was working for him. Now, the reason I warn you in that is because too often we read the scripture, and we come to God, and we pray, and we say, God, you know, I've been taken captive, or there's something going wrong in my life, and God, I'm going to be faithful right now. I'm going to pray that you take that away from me, and God, I'm going to give you 30 minutes. Or God, I'm going to give you, today's the 8th, how about 15th, Lord? I know this is a stubborn one. A week could go pretty well, God. You can work that out. And we don't realize that the heroes of our faith had God working in them, through them, and through their times of tribulation. Daniel's destination, as God determined his destination, and remember that's part of the proverb too, isn't it? When he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, all your ways know him, and he will make your path straight. Well, what was Daniel's destination? We said that was a key to trust the Lord, and he would make sure our destiny was sure. What was Daniel's destiny? Well, Daniel was destined for tribulation. There's no doubt about it. What happened to Daniel? Let's see, there was Daniel and the, what was it? What? Lion's den. Daniel and the lion's den. I don't know. I read sometimes about going to furniture stores today and buying the furniture to make a man cave. Do you think that's what he was talking about? I think this was a man cave, had maybe a 52-inch television and some of those chairs that lean way back and you watch a football game on. Now, I don't think that's what a lion's den is in this case. We know Daniel had the lion's den. We know his three friends had the burning fiery furnace. We know he was destined for tribulation. Even as we read the story that he found favor in the heart of man and God, we know where his destination is. But we also know that through the midst of that tribulation, God never left him. God was making his path straight, and Daniel was destined for exaltation. And God lifted Daniel up like he lifted Joseph up before. He lifted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego up like he lifted Daniel up, like he lifted Joseph up before, because they humbled themselves under the mighty hand of God. God exalted them in the proper time. They were able to cast their cares upon him because God cared for them. And God worked through the midst of this to bring Daniel up time and time again to be one of the chief wise men and rulers, therefore, one of the chief officials of influence within several kingdoms under several kings, because Daniel was following the principles that we're calling life keys in the Proverbs. I love a song that was made popular when I was in college in the Christian radio circle. It's a poem, and the words were done by someone famous named Anonymous. He wrote a lot of things. And it was sung by Phil Keaggy. And this is the way the poem goes. Disappointment, his appointment. Change one letter, that is the D in disappointment, to an H, and it becomes his appointment. Then I see that the thwarting of my purpose is God's better choice for me. His appointment must be blessing, though it may come in disguise, for the end from the beginning is open to wisdom. His wisdom lies. Disappointment. His appointment. Who's the Lord's? Who knows and loves me best, understands and knows me fully, who my faith and love would test. For like loving earthly parents, he rejoices when he knows that his child accepts unquestioned all that from his wisdom flows. Disappointment, his appointment. No good thing will he withhold from denials. Oft we gather treasures of his love untold. Well, he knows each broken purpose leads to fuller, deeper trust, and the end of all his dealings proves our God is wise and just. Disappointment, his appointment. Lord, I take it then as such, like the clay in hands of potters, yielding wholly to thy touch. All my life's plan is thy molding. Not one single choice be mine. Let me answer unrepining, Father, not my will, but thine. And wouldn't that be the life of Daniel? Wouldn't that be the life of Joseph? Men who had determined to follow the will and the way of God, and God worked out their destiny. Daniel's destiny was exaltation after tribulation, and his proclamation was always this. He would say to you, God was faithful. Those of us who have lived and walked with the Lord for any time have walked through difficult days. Some of those days are known to our friends and our families, to our church families, and some perhaps are hidden in our own heart. They will be taken with us to the grave. But one knows, and all of us who have walked with God over any period of time and really entrusted our lives to him, look back at our lives and see the mountains and the valleys and the difficulties and the hardships, and all of those combined, still we look at them and cry out to God, God, you are faithful. You are merciful and you are good. And though we do not understand, and perhaps in certain places we have chosen differently, still, God, it is evident that you are faithful. And Daniel would proclaim such, that God had met him, and as he determined to fear God, to follow God, to trust God, to be God's man, God was faithful. And with that, he would determine to tell you that faithfulness is rewarded. Not sometimes, it is always rewarded. It is rewarded on earth, and it is rewarded in heaven. It was rewarded in the pits where the brother threw Joseph. It was rewarded in the captivity when Daniel and his three men were taken captive a long way from home. You ever looked on a map? They were taken from Israel all the way up to where Babylon is, Iran in our day. Faithfulness was rewarded as Daniel and his friends became leaders among their peers. And faith was determinative. Everything that happened to Daniel had to do with Daniel's faith, with his trust in God. Not as we said this morning, not merely mental assent. I'm not just saying, oh, I believe there is a God. Not even, I just believe that Jesus died on the cross for me and rose from the dead, the proclamation of the Christian faith. But I believe it with such an extent that I pour my life out to God and I lay my life on the altar for God, and I will follow God wherever he leads me, and I will obey God in whatever he tells me to do. The kind of faith that trusts in God and his word, and in doing so, it opens the ability for God to pour out on us his blessing, to guide us in his direction, and to teach us his word. It's determinative. All of it happened because these men remained faithful. Let me read for you the Proverbs again. See if it doesn't fit the story of Daniel. My son, do not forget my teaching. Could almost be like Daniel was headed off to school, you know, and his dad pulled him aside and said, son, you're about to go to school at the University of Nebuchadnezzar there. And so, son, don't forget my teaching when you get to the big city up there, but let your heart keep my commandments, for length of days and years of life will be yours. And what did it tell us? That Daniel served from Nebuchadnezzar through the first year of Cyrus. And peace they will add to you, even in the midst of the storm. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart, and you will find favor with that of the king's servant who was over you, and good repute in the sight of God and of man. Trust in the Lord. Even when things don't go right, even when your plans are thwarted, even when you are disappointed, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean to your own understanding. God, why am I in Babylon? In all of your ways, know him. God, I'm going to trust you. And he will make your path straight. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Continue to fear the Lord and turn away from evil. And it will be a healing to your body and a refreshment to your bones. My friends, in our day, God is still looking for men and women who bear the marks of Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And you can be those men and women. Let's go before God. Father, we just thank you for your word to us tonight. We pray, dear Father, that it is a word that will be driven deeply within our hearts. As we continue to read the Proverbs, Father, marking our days with its chapters, so I pray, Father, you would make us as wise as Solomon and more wise. For we pray we would not walk in that wisdom for one day or one year, for a lifetime. Let us model our life upon your word and make our decisions according to it. Let our character be such that you may grant us favor with yourself and with man. And let us walk trusting you so fully that you, in the midst of whatever life holds for us, you will make our path straight. We ask it, Father, as we determine, like Daniel, not to defile ourselves with the king's food, but to fear the Lord with all our heart. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.